Hello and welcome back to another Buffy podcast. I'm Trevor.
And I'm Kristen.
And we are going to geek out about Buffy. Today's episode is Season 3, Episode 14, Bad Girls. Woof. Woof indeed.
There's a lot in this episode.
There's a lot in and out of this episode.
Yeah.
It's funny because I always reminisce on this episode, like, oh, you know, it's got so many great things in it. Like, yeah. It's got that great moment of them busting through the door, all that kind of stuff. But then just like, as we've discussed in Season 3, It is such a shift for the season where it's like, yeah. This is where Season 3 kind of starts.
Right.
And it's weirdly out of nowhere. You're like, there's a lot of things that are inconsistent with the rest of the season happening right now. And you're like, yeah, along for the ride because it's good. But you're also just like, where did this come from?
Well, you're totally right, because it's like this weird shift. And you are also totally right that it feels like this is when Season 3 starts, when there are 8 episodes left.
Right.
And it's like, that's not... You haven't done your job if 14 episodes haven't set up anything yet. Like, this is the first time we hear the word ascension.
This officially commences the 100 days. Nothing can harm me until the ascension.
It is the introduction of Wesley Wyndham Price.
Hello.
New Watcher.
New Watcher.
Wesley Wyndham Price.
Who will be a regular fixture of conversation from now until the end of this podcast, especially if we're going to do Angel interspersed.
He's so great.
But it's so bizarre. This also is the episode where Faith turns into a sociopath on a dime.
Nicely diverted, V.
Diverted? That was me fighting for my life, Miss Attention Span.
This isn't a Tupperware party. It's a little hard to plan.
Count of Three isn't a plan. It's Sesame Street.
Hey, they're toast and we're here, so it couldn't have been too bad, right?
Like, literally out of nowhere, Faith is a sociopath all of a sudden, and we're just meant to accept that. It's so bizarre, especially because the, like, you know, how she treats Xander in the Zeppo is, like, not great, but it is framed and filmed in a way that makes it look like it was at least a nice experience.
Yeah.
But it's like this episode immediately, like right out the gate, she just is like horrible, like a delinquent. Like, she's stealing. She's breaking into places. She's just like,
who said I had a plan? I don't know how many's down there, but I want to find out. And I'll know when I land. If you don't come in after me, I might die.
Just like totally reckless behavior.
Manipulative. Yeah.
Yeah. And it's just, we should have had a more gradual descent into this, because the last like 3 or 4 times we saw her, she was getting along with everybody. She was like doing the right thing, you know, or just like being like a little bit of a, you know, instigator kind of a thing. But this is like, again, sociopath behavior all of a sudden.
I mean, I feel like outside of the Zeppo, the last time we saw her was a men's, and it was a very like beautiful, like she was accepted into Joyce's home kind of thing. Like,
yeah,
there's no... And Buffy joining in. Okay, well, here, let's recap what the episode is.
I always do this. I do it on everything.
I'm also, the episode is, you're like, but first of all, so this episode, for anyone who's not watching along, this is the episode where Buffy and Faith kind of go on a wild spree of slaying, and it ends in Faith murdering someone.
Mm-hmm. And accidentally.
Accidentally.
It is an accident, but
still. The crux of the story is essentially Balthazar is trying to get an amulet, which is an relatively insignificant story, but he's also trying to get power against the mayor, who we find out later is at the end of the episode becomes invincible. And like, right, you kind of get the hint that like this mayor is going to be a huge deal. So that's kind of like the backbone of what's making things happen in the story. But the heart of it is the Faith's downfall, which just happens so fast.
Yeah.
She's just, cause she's like the rebel without a cause for the first half of the season. And she shows up here and there, not nearly as much as she should story-wise. Like, she should be around all the time, and they only bring her in for like pivotal moments, like the Xander sex moment and the amends moment, where we both agreed, we're like, Joyce should be giving her a place to stay. Why are we just letting her live in a motel?
Yeah, we know there's a guest room because of stuff that happens in season 5.
Right.
So like what are we doing?
It's so dumb. But so, and then they're basically just, you know, it opens up on Buffy and Faith fighting and just having full conversation as if this is what they've been doing all season.
Come on, really? All this time and not even once? How many times do I have to say it? I have never done it with Xander!
Yeah, like as if they've been, you know, talking about their love lives and like just, I don't know. It also, the way that Faith talks to Buffy is one thing where she's sort of trying to compare notes and be like, you really like never do you feel like too revved up after a slay? Like you just have to like go find someone for some sex or whatever, which that's one thing. That's the kind of person Faith is like overly familiar, constantly talking about sex. But like what actually annoys me about it is the way that Buffy reacts to it, because it's again, this whole thing of painting this, the like sexually open and aggressive and comfortable woman as the bad guy.
Yeah.
And Buffy is like very prim and like, oh my God, no, never. And like, she's like, oh, with the grunting. And it just turns Faith into this very like, for lack of a, you know, less binary explanation, like a very masculine, bad energy, like quote unquote bad female energy. And so it just, I don't love the vibes of that, because, and it continues with Buffy. It's like whenever she is at her most sexually free, there is something bad happening.
Yeah.
Like whether
like that,
it is
that the episode with Riley.
Exactly.
And they're just constantly.
Whether there is actually like a possession or a demon issue, or whether it's like because the partner is, you know, quote unquote incorrect. And that does not, as an adult woman, vibe right with me.
No.
Especially because, you know, I don't know that it really impacted me in any severe way, but it's like, I watched this when I was, you know, impressionable. I don't like the idea that everything I watched was like this, but things are still like this. Like Once Upon a Time is like this. So many things are like this, and it really bums me out that we're still doing it.
Yeah, TV's still doing it, and movies.
Yeah.
It's frustrating to watch, especially I don't feel with my perspective of the world that I ever noticed it before talking with you about Buffy. But now it's just like hard not to see. It's like you said, it's every woman, like Jenny, Cordelia, Buffy, everybody, every time they're sexually free, it's just like, here's a consequence. And it's like, and it's different from like teaching consequences of like unprotected sex kind of stuff to kids. It's definitely a pointed message about women being open sexually, as opposed to like Xander's trying to be open sexually all the time. And
It even continues with Cordelia on Angel, because she has multiple magical pregnancies on that show that are like a direct result of one or two of them I think are a direct result of her having had a date the night before or something. But the thing, you can zoom all the way back out on this episode to the fact that it is called Bad Girls, which means that like because of Faith's general behavior, she is considered a quote unquote bad girl. I would generally agree with that. She is, again, like I said, stealing, she's breaking in places. That's incorrect, bad, illegal behavior.
Right.
But the reason it's called Bad Girls is because she, like, in the episode, like, lures Buffy to her, like, way of operating.
Right.
And that includes the confidence that she has in her sexuality. Like, when she runs across the bronze and jumps up on Angel and like wraps her legs and her arms around him, he is also very taken aback. Like, this is not who you are. This is not what I want from you. And he's like, what are you doing? And it just leaves a bad taste in my mouth. Like, I don't think that should be considered bad. Except for that, it's Angel.
I want to talk about that moment because yes. I was thinking about you during that scene. Because she, like you said, she jumps up on him, she wraps her legs around him, and she's like very, she's the aggressor in yeah. that scenario, and he's put off, and he puts her down and says no, thank you, and she immediately goes into like not quite baby talk, but. Mm-hmm. She infantilizes herself to yep. him as if she knows, oh, but what you do want is this. And yep. I was just like, ugh.
Yeah.
You're not leaving, are you?
I saw you making friends.
Them? Boys. I like you. What's the matter? You're not afraid of little me, are you?
Because the thing is it's actually, it's a moment in the Buffy and Angel relationship where I like Buffy the most.
Yeah.
Within their relationship, because she is having a good time with Faith. They're having a nice, you know, evening. It's, you know, perhaps a little out of bounds, but they're having fun so far. They're dancing, they're going crazy. And she sees Angel and she's excited and she's like girly. And she just is like, that's what I want. Let's go. Right. And the fact that he just is like, ugh. Like,
yeah,
no, not like this. Ugh.
Yeah,
I have to be the one who wants it.
She has the confidence, isn't it, and is in control, which yeah. is what we see with Spike. I mean, obviously, it gets very toxic in season six, but like her and Spike are on even footing,
mm-hmm.
And that gets into spoiler territory. But she's not like this meek
yeah.
person who doesn't quite know if she can live up to this idea that he has in her head, but with Angel, that's always who she is and yeah. will be.
Yeah.
It's, which is gross.
I don't like it. Although this episode does have one of my favorite Angel moments, because later when Balthazar has Wesley and Giles, Wesley folds like a cheap suit immediately.
We have something you want. You have something we want.
A trade. Intriguing. No. Wait, boring. Pull off his kneecaps!
No. The Slayer gave it to someone, a tall man, a friend of hers. I can tell you everything.
Be quiet, you twerp, they'll kill us both.
But I'd like to have my kneecaps.
He's like, well, the Slayer gave the amulet to her friend or whatever, and he's like, oh, I didn't catch his name.
The man who has my amulet! What is his name?
His name is Angel.
And he like busts through and it's yeah. all heroic. I actually love that. I think it's great. It's like a really good moment for David Boreanaz. It's yeah. like a pretty good moment for Angel. I don't know. I liked that.
Which is also like, because we love Angel. Like when yeah. he's on, that's what he's like on Angel. Like he's
exactly.
a badass superhero. Yeah. And like, that's who we love. Not for this sure. like weird, like creeping on a teenage girl.
Yeah. Broody weirdo.
Yeah.
I mean, blessedly she's at least 18 now, but for yeah. crying out loud.
But still. Back at the beginning of this episode, Buffy and Faith, you know, they fight, they specifically talk about having sex with Xander, not just sex after slang, yeah. but like, wouldn't have you ever not ever thought about having sex with Xander? There's a lot of it, like a lot of hints about that throughout yeah. this episode. And then the mayor is so intimidated. Like, I get nervous when he walks through Alan. Like,
yeah.
Alan's standing there and he just, like, unwavering, just walks straight. And Alan just, like, jumps to the door. I'm always just like, oh, God. You're just a man, but I don't know why I'm yeah. so scared. And he basically sets up. And I don't know if we've seen Alan be this hesitant. Alan's always been afraid of the mayor.
Yeah.
But I don't know if we've seen him this hesitant. I think because he knows what the mayor's about to do and like how serious it is.
Yeah, I think this episode is like, again, even though we haven't seen really the buildup for it, this episode is a turning point for the mayor's plans
right.
this season. And so I think you're right. I think Alan knows what's about to happen. And so there's like no going back after this point.
And it's one of those things where that's another element where I wish they had spent some time, because I do feel sad when he gets killed, and we'll get to that.
Yeah.
But I wish there was a little more juice to his story. So when yeah. he does get killed, I'm like, oh no, but he was coming to tell. Like, I want that
sure.
certainty of like, oh, he was coming to give you information.
Yeah.
But it's just kind of a big mystery. I mean,
yeah, I agree.
You all but know that he was coming to tell them about what was happening, but
yeah.
It just, everything in this episode is like, okay, and here's where, like, it's kind of like in the writer's room, they've just been throwing out all these ideas, like, oh, what if they eat candy and, you know, turn into kids, or yeah, what if they blah, 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 they had all these, and then they're like, okay, I finally got it, guys. I know what this season's about, like, 8 episodes before it's over.
Exactly. That's the thing that's, like, sort of annoying, because it's like, I think we talked about it in one of the other episodes, but it's like, I mean, you can't not have Anne, because that's such an important episode for Buffy. But for sure, after that, I feel like Dead Man's Party is, you need the emotional character payoffs in that, but that can go into any episode. Yep. Like there could have been a party in the Faith episode. Like the Faith stuff, like introducing Faith and having the party could have been in the same episode. We don't need Pat.
Absolutely.
That's sort of boring. The Beauty and the Beast episode, totally useless. Just the Dr. Jekyll, Mr. Hyde shit. Homecoming
is
good.
You could put the angel thing from the end of that episode at the end of any episode.
At the end of any episode. It literally doesn't matter which one. And so it's just like, so yes, Band Candy is good. But then also we don't need Revelations. That's just like an evil watcher for the sake of wasting time. I can't live without Lover's Walk, but the series could. Yeah. You know what I mean? Like, the series doesn't need it. I need it, but the series doesn't. And then the only reason that the Wish works is because we're going to get Doppelgangland in a couple of weeks. So, and we get Anya. But again, that was not forethought. It just sort of happened. I'll let you keep amends. You know what I mean? It's whatever.
But we don't need it, honestly.
But you don't need it. You don't need that.
That's
you
another
don't need
one where it's like, I love amends, but like I would have been fine if there was no amends, because there was no buildup to it. There was no like, here's the final payoff of this thing. I just accepted that he was back and I didn't really care why.
Exactly.
And so I was like, I don't need this. So that, like, you, there's really like 4, maybe 5 episodes that they did that they could keep and make more streamline, like continuing this story.
100%.
And then they have so many more episodes to just like really flesh it out.
Exactly. Because that's the thing too, is like, there's a part of me that thinks if we had met Faith either in the opening episode, like imagine if Buffy got home and Faith was already there. You know what I mean? Like Faith had arrived while she was gone. Do you know what I mean?
Oh my God.
Are you kidding?
That would be like, so good.
So good. And so in that case, there would then have been an even extra element to that fight that Buffy has with Xander and Willow and her mom and everybody. Because it's like that, then she has a reason to feel like they don't need her.
Right.
Whereas when we talked about that episode, we were like, this is fucking weird. She just is sort of like, she's deciding to leave based on nothing, just to make the episode work. I can see your face. You are losing your mind.
You blew my mind. Oh my God. I can't even process this right now. Like if Faith had come during the summer.
Yeah.
And it was just like, we have a new thing. And so we get a parallel story of Anne and like, there's a new Slayer in town and they don't know what happened to Buffy. And Faith, like fucking Faith's living with Joyce, you know, like whatever, like Faith, Joyce is taking care of the new Slayer. She's got a daughter bond with Joyce and Buffy has to fight with that. And then Faith starts feeling pushed out when Buffy comes to town and like that. And oh my God, the richness of that stuff. My brain can't handle it.
And then, you know, you can avoid so much stuff that felt like filler. Like we could get rid of Scott Hope. We could get rid of so much stuff we could have. And the thing about the mayor, especially, is that like, sure, we meet him in episode 3, I think.
Yeah.
But this is the first episode where like anything of actual consequence happens to the mayor.
Yeah.
And that is very frustrating.
Yeah.
Because it's like, that's like waiting. It literally is. It is waiting until 8 episodes from the end to introduce both of your villains. Both of your season villains.
Right.
Sure, we did meet the mayor, and sure, we did meet Faith. But it's like, there's no indication. There are indications that the mayor is up to no good, but this episode is where they both turn into villains.
Right. And you're like, this is what it's about.
Yeah, it's just too late.
It is.
It's just too
like,
late.
It's great. These last batch of episodes is a great story to follow. Mm-hmm. It just would have benefited so much more with legitimate buildup instead of just like, here's a bunch of fun ideas and now we'll tell you a story.
Yeah, totally agreed.
but we don't need to berate at them. I think we've
done what we need to do.
I think season three is dead on the ground right now. No. Also, in another thing that kind of annoyed me is Xander. So they're all talking about all the colleges that Willow got into, and Cordelia comes up and she ribs Xander, and Xander is visibly annoyed and like fights back.
That's so cute. Planning life as a loser? Most people just turn out that way, but you're really taking charge.
The comedy stylings of Miss Cordelia Chase, everyone. Who, incidentally won't be needing a higher education when she markets her own very successful line of hooker wear.
Well, Xander, I could dress more like you, but... Oh, my father has a job.
I'm not gonna waste the perfect comeback on you now. But don't think I don't have it. Oh, yes. Its time will come.
And I'm like, the last episode literally ended on you being above this.
Yeah.
Like, you were so unbothered in the very next scene in the next episode. You're so angry about it again. Like, where are we in this?
Yeah, I get that for sure. I guess, I don't know. It would be a little weird. And I think it would have opened the door too much for them to get back together, because Nicholas Brennan and Charisma Carpenter have like a really fun chemistry. And so I feel like if he remained unbothered, there would be no reason for Cordelia. Like, Cordelia would be more intrigued by that than anything.
Oh,
and
yeah.
I think it would draw her back in a way that, like, at this point they had to have already known she was going to Angel, like, with David Boreanaz. And so I just don't really think, I think plot wise it wouldn't have worked, because they would have then been still like sharing scenes.
You're like, why aren't they getting back together?
Exactly.
Yeah. Especially with Oz and Willow as the example. You're like, well, yeah. I've seen that this can work.
Yeah.
But yeah, you're right. That maybe they just needed to keep that friction. They do end on a really good note, which is good.
Yes, I can't wait for that. I'm really excited for that.
It's great. And then Wesley arrives. Wesley, one of my favorite characters of all time.
Yep, he's in my top five favorite Buffyverse characters for sure.
If this is your first time watching Buffy, it might seem crazy that like we're saying Wesley has one of the best arcs ever.
It's incredible.
I did not see it coming.
No.
And you have to watch both shows to see where he goes, but it is just so fantastic.
Like, by the time you get to season five of Angel, you don't even have to wait that long, but by the time you get to season five of Angel, and I'm not going to say too much, but there's an episode with his father.
Oh my God.
That episode is bonkers good. And like,
so good.
It's so ridiculous.
It's funny watching this and knowing his last scene, like, every time I watch this episode, I'm like, this is the same person?
It's same
so
guy.
Insane.
Because that's the other thing, too, is like, he comes in, he looks like a total pompous ass. He's wearing his three-piece suit and his glasses, his hair is all slicked back. He's very clean shaven. He looks like a little puppy. But this show did the same thing with him that they did with Anthony Stewart Head, where like, give it like 10 episodes, he is so hot.
So
he gets
hot.
So hot.
It's so hot. It's ridiculous. You're just like, oh my God.
Like,
Alexis
Denisov, I tell ya, he is fine. And he just looks like such a little dandy right now.
Yeah.
But it like, even when it's like not, even when he's overcompensating, his first episode on Angel, where he keeps saying he's a rogue demon hunter. What's a rogue demon? That is overcompensating, but he is wearing like head to toe leather.
Yeah,
it's like, I don't know. It's
so
all
funny.
Very good.
He's
I
like,
can't wait.
He's so funny, and his dramatic delivery and his arc, everything. It's just top notch, top. Oh, so good.
Really
I cannot
good.
Wait. I cannot wait to follow that story.
Yeah,
just,
me too.
This is going to be so great.
It's going to be great. We're going to end up being so extra busy once we start doing Angel also.
Oh my
I don't know
God.
What we're going to have to discuss a release strategy, because I don't know what we're going to do.
This is going to be a lot. You stay tuned for the next 10 years while we cover Buffy and Angel.
It'll be a while.
Yeah. Also, Wesley leaning in and Giles and Buffy leaning back is one of my favorite physical comedy moments of the whole series. Just like, because he like leans in to whisper a secret and they're both just like,
Ugh.
A good slayer is a cautious slayer.
I love so the whole funny. Thing too, because they obviously don't trust him.
Yeah.
Because he's new, and the last watcher that they sent that wasn't right. Quentin Travers himself was evil.
Is he evil?
Evil?
The last one was evil.
Oh, yes. Gwendolyn Post, we all heard.
And so it's just very interesting watching the kind of like dipping the toe in of this stuff where like Buffy keeps on being like, okay, Giles, we'll talk later. And Wesley is like, he's not your watcher anymore. You need to talk to me. And she just right. is like, okay, bye, Giles. I'll talk to you later. And she yeah. just leaves. And it's sort of constant and like the teasing him and everything. And I love that this is like coming off the heels, a couple episodes off the heels of Helpless.
Yeah.
It's really, really nice and lovely to watch this like totally unified front that right. Giles and Buffy have against this other person, to just be able to be like, you are the outsider and we have a thing already and
right.
we have a system that works, and it's, you know, it doesn't matter what the council says or what I'm supposed to be doing. This is what's working and we're not going to stop doing it just because you're here.
Right.
And I love that.
And they also did some brilliant storytelling in the way that they ended that episode. She was so betrayed by Giles, and she mm-hmm. let him, you know, she found out that he loves her like a father, and that's why he got mm-hmm. fired. And then he's doing it. And on paper, that's not enough, right? On paper, it's like, you still got to work through this a little bit.
Yeah.
And so you couldn't just go into this episode after that and her being buddy buddy and like essentially cuddling up next to Giles. Like, that would be yeah. a weird transition. So they have Zeppo, which they go through a world ending event, but they right. didn't have to do all the build up to it that yeah. you normally would for a season finale, because it was told from Xander's perspective. So it was like a really brilliant way to be like, they had this moment, they truly bonded when the world was about to end, and now yeah. we're, you know, back to where we were, and we didn't have to do like 10 episodes of legwork to get there.
Exactly. Because that's the thing too, is like, you know, we watch a ton of TV, and so we encounter the same issues in a ton of problems. And so there's a lot of TV shows all the time where you get to a point where people are still dancing around like a sore subject. And I'm just sort of like, especially with network TV that like does 22 episode seasons still or whatever. And you get fatigue. I'm like, we're still pissed about this.
Yeah.
Like,
get over
this. This has been 3 months of my life. Like, you yeah. need to just move past it. And so you're totally right. Like, because it also feels realistic from this TV show that like that could have conceivably happened off screen. You
right.
know, they've had fights before, like when, yeah. you know, the prophecy at season one. We don't need that every time.
Right.
And, you know, they had a fight at the beginning of the season about Angel because she didn't say Angel was back. So, like, you know, we've done the like deep emotional moments. I don't think we needed one for this because we knew how it was going to end.
Right.
We know he loves her like a father. And because we got that from an outside source, not just Giles saying it, it is, even though it's Quentin Travers, in that instance, it's more trustworthy.
Right. It's confirmed.
Because it's an outside person who doesn't want it to be true.
Right.
You know, and which coincidentally is the reason why the episode Lover's Walk has to be Spike. Because it's an outside person, and
yeah.
it has to be him. Regardless, I definitely agree with you, because I can you imagine if like they didn't make up until like the beginning
oh
of the two-part finale?
That's how they
Ridiculous.
Do shit now. Yeah, it would be so obnoxious.
After we wasted all of this time.
Yeah. Oh my God.
After we already wasted all of this time, you're going to waste more of my time by having Buffy and Giles at odds? Absolutely not.
They're trying to figure out how to fight, and it's like, Giles, can I talk to you? It's like, oh my God, are you still worried about this? Also, so there's a funny thing at the end of the scene with Faith that is it's great because it's perfect, like it perfectly encapsulates Faith, but it also irritates me because Faith walks into that library as if she walks into that library every day.
All the time, yeah.
And like she's waiting for orders from Giles or something.
Ah, this is perhaps Faith.
New watcher?
New watcher.
Screw that. Now, why didn't I just say that?
Buffy.
I'll see if I can get her back.
I just think it's the funniest thing in the world.
Yeah.
I think it's perfectly Faith, but it lacks that that backstory of her doing this in the first, like, why the fuck is she there? There's no reason.
She's been there like a handful of times, but not often enough. And we also know she's not a student.
Right.
So she
she's been there to watch Oz, which there's been purposes why she was there, or but if there was an event.
At night, after hours, where people are like, Principal Snyder still exists.
And, yeah, there's no way she's getting in that school.
Exactly. Just like randomly walking through a stranger who's like too old for high school, just walking around. I don't know. I agree with you that it's super bizarre, because especially from here until the final turn of her character, she is there a lot.
Yeah.
Like, there's a lot more of her in the school, and it's weird that all of a sudden she starts going there.
Oh, yeah. Now that we've established that this is a faith story. Yeah.
Yeah. Exactly. Yeah.
That it's weird. Like, they put in this idea of she's not at school, so that's why she's not there all the time. But then once they're like, oh, wait, no, but we do need her to be there. So
then she's there all the time, all hours of the day.
Pretend that wasn't a rule anyway.
Yeah. And the other thing about this episode that actually kind of annoys me is that this shift from Buffy is very fast as well.
Yes.
There's no slippery slope. It just immediately she's skipping class, stealing weapons.
This is one of the, like, there's a scene later on where Willow's giving her a spell and Buffy's very cagey about, like, mm-hmm. Oh, you shouldn't come with me because I gotta be with Faith.
Ready? Time to motor. Hey, Willow.
Hey. I really should. But we'll hang out later, right?
Yeah, you go ahead. I'll just get my stuff.
Storytelling wise, that should be a scene where you're struggling and you're supporting both characters. You're like, Buffy has come along this journey with Faith, and like Willow's kind of out of line or whatever. But like, you're just with Willow the whole time. You're like, no, Buffy's being an asshole. Like,
exactly.
This is your best friend. Why are you all of a sudden ditching everybody for Faith to do all these bad things? I don't understand.
Yeah, because the other thing that she's doing is being reckless.
Yeah.
You know, she's breaking the law, and she's, you know, be stealing and breaking into places and breaking the law, but she's also being reckless with the slays that she goes after. You know, it's just like the Faith thing at the beginning where she's like, well, I'm going to jump down there, and if you don't come, I might die. So what are we going to do?
Right.
And it's just it's weird. It's like she flips a switch in her brain and is just like, this is who I am now. And and then it just immediately stops because it's all fun and games until someone gets poked in the heart. But, you know, I don't know. It's, again, going back to what I was saying before, it would just be so much more interesting if this had more of a buildup.
Yes.
Like, there should have been way more of a buildup. And do you know what's interesting? And this is a thought that I just had. What would be interesting is if this was, like I mentioned before, if Faith had been there over the summer and it did start kind of more gradually them doing like bad things or whatever. Wouldn't it have been interesting if Buffy did end up having sex with Angel again, but it didn't turn him into Angelus? Because
it wasn't perfect happiness
for him. Yeah.
That would be fascinating.
So fascinating. Because that is a thing that gets discussed on Angel.
Yeah.
But it would have been interesting if we had some kind of give and take with the Buffy relationship. Because from now, from that episode until the end of both series, it is just implied that Buffy is his perfect happiness. Buffy specifically.
Is it though? Because the reveal in Angel, I won't spoil it for those who are going to come along for the journey, but there's a reveal in Angel where it's not. It's definitely like that moment is a hard thing to come by. And that very specific moment was such a revelation. And it's where he has his epiphany in season two. And you're just like, to me, because the whole time I was just like, oh God, you know, Angel shouldn't have sex. Like, Angel can't have sex. And Cordelia makes the joke all the time. It's just like, you have that one moment.
Yeah.
And then when that happens, they make a point to call out like, no, that's like literally barely anybody ever experiences.
Exactly.
That.
Yeah.
It would be, because it is really great when it happens. That's one of my favorite storylines in Angel. Mm-hmm. It's really great the way that's revealed. But like you said, that would be really great to have it happen with Buffy, because that is such a holy shit.
Because in that case, it's the circumstances not necessarily the person. And it would go, it would be the like sort of gross thing again, but it would place the grossness on Angel rather than the series, where like if she was the aggressor and it wasn't perfect happiness for him.
Yeah.
Then it places the grossness on Angel as opposed to just the series is gross because every time there's a sexually confident woman, she's evil.
She's yeah.
Kind of a thing.
Yeah, that'd be a whole different story too. That'd be,
of course, yes, a whole.
They'd
different
have to
story.
Admit how gross Angel is. They don't want
to
do that.
They'd have to admit a lot of things if we're being honest.
Yeah, that's very true. I will say so. We'll get to there naturally. Well, I'll wait till we get to the murder.
Okay,
it's a famous quote.
We can get
I'll
to
wait
the murder.
Till we get to the murder. Well, let's see. Is there anything else of? Faith gets her out of class, which is a whole thing. I was just like, where the fuck is the teacher? How did she just open a window and Buffy climbed? Where is Principal Snyder? Like, this is absurd.
So absurd. It's so ridiculous. Like, it's just not realistic.
I love it, but I'm just like, this makes no sense. Yeah. It makes no fucking sense. The teacher is not leaving that classroom. This is high school, people.
Yeah.
Faith and Buffy bursting into the nest is one of the badass things ever.
It's very cool. Yeah.
Yeah. Wes, Angel, and Buffy is funny. Balthazar being gross as fuck.
The front. Moist in the front.
He is disgusting. He is so like gross. I want to say the grossest demon they ever fight.
Moisten me.
He's disgusting. Because it's not even as bad as the like. Because what's her name? Princess Lady Cassandra or whatever from Doctor Who.
Oh, yeah.
Because she's just a stretched piece of skin.
That's just stretched skin, yeah.
This is disgusting.
This
but
is
the,
so
the moisturize
gross.
Me part was
but
the...
He is so funny, though.
He's pretty funny. Yeah.
He's up there with the master with me where he's just hamming it up. Like
hamming
he's just having
hard,
a
yeah.
ball with the scene. It's so funny.
Absolutely.
Buffy and Faith get arrested.
I said, drop the weapons. Or I fire. Now spread them.
You wish.
And then fuck up some cops. I can't remember if I told you I made this like montage, this 3-minute montage of just cops getting fucked up on Buffy.
No, but that's amazing. I mean, let's do more. Let's fuck up more cops.
Yeah, it's going to happen a lot on this series. Willow's jealous of Buffy. We already talked about that. Giles, you can
if you want to criticize my methods, fine. But you can keep your snide remarks to yourself. And while you're at it, don't criticize my methods.
Yeah. I can. This is where I start really... Because I've loved Giles the whole time. I think Giles is great. I think Anthony Stewart-Head is fantastic. But this is where Giles turns into the Giles he is for basically the rest of the season.
Yeah.
Because in comparison to Wesley, you can see how relaxed he has become.
Yeah.
As like a watcher and a person and a British person and everything. And so after he sort of realizes this, and I feel like he kind of sees Wesley as a mirror for his past self, where he's like, oh, God, is that how I acted? Ugh. And he makes a concerted effort to not do that anymore.
Right. Yeah. Like there's that great physical moment where they both take their glasses out and do it. And he's like, ugh.
And Giles realizes they're doing the same thing and he stops and just puts his glasses back on.
And it's great because he, like you said, he's more relaxed now. Like he doesn't have the Watcher's Council over his shoulder. He doesn't have, like, he does have a responsibility to Buffy, but he doesn't have this responsibility to report to the Watcher's Council, which I think is a huge relief. Like his whole life was, you were meant to do this. You will do this, wear your suits, do what we tell you. And now he's just like, now I can just focus on saving the world and like making sure Buffy's okay.
Well, and I think even further to that, I think by having Wesley hold up that mirror to him of what he used to be, I think it's a really stark comparison because we have sort of, we've seen it, but it's not really ever had a button put on it that like over the time that we've been with these characters so far, he has slowly and slowly and slowly given ground to Buffy because he realizes that her methods work and she's still getting the results, even though she's not following the Watcher rules or whatever. And so what's interesting to me is that seeing the way Wesley is, which he knows is how he used to be, I think he realizes how far he's come from that.
Yeah.
And I think it wasn't 100% apparent to him how much he had let slide and how much he had you know, grown and changed and learned to trust the Slayer, because that's not how they're taught. And so being able to see it so clearly how he's come to this better place, I think he leans into it a lot going forward.
Absolutely, yeah.
And I we love
see,
that.
And we get to see Wes, too, when Wes is not in the West Watchers Council anymore. Spoiler yep. alert. He gets a lot more relaxed and hotter.
Yeah.
And cooler.
Way hotter.
Way hotter. And then so now we're at the scene. Buffy and Faith are getting attacked by these medieval vampires through an alleyway one by one. And Alan grabs Faith. She pushes him away. Or he grabs Buffy.
Yeah.
Buffy pushes him to the dumpster, and then Faith runs over and lunges a stake into his heart.
Faith, no!
So Buffy, I think obviously one of the reasons it hits Buffy more is because the story that they're telling is like Buffy is good and Faith doesn't care.
Yeah.
But also within the scene, Buffy is like face to face with him. She yeah. watches the life leave his body, and it truly affects her. And I feel like it would be a much, obviously she wrestles with this a lot and it really messes with her, but I feel like it would be a much richer story if we've seen a slow gradual build into this version of Buffy, and
yeah.
and this was the moment where she was like, oh my God. Because right now it's just so easy. It's such an easy, like, drugs are bad, kids. Like,
yeah.
you do it and then, you know, someone ends up dead and it's that easy and that fast. It's like, it would be much more interesting if you took time, you took months of, like, her falling into this path and people would be like, you can't be doing this, Buffy. And then
yeah.
she has to face up front
yeah.
the result of it.
If this was a long coming wake up call, absolutely. Like, honest to God, I only need like 3 episodes would be enough.
Yeah.
To, you know, 2 episodes before this, and then this death is the wake up call for her to be like, oh, I'm doing the wrong thing. But as it stands, it's like, this is just a Monster of the Week episode, but
yeah.
it has these long running consequences. Like, the consequences of this moment go until season 7.
Yeah.
And all through multiple seasons of Angel.
Yeah.
And so it's just, it's very, again,
and
to
in
what
the comics,
we were saying before.
Like,
and the comics, yeah. It's
this,
just very frustrating.
Goes, yeah. It's, yeah, it's a really, it's like we said, it's a really great episode that has a lot of great things and introductions and starts the themes, but it's
yeah.
just like, I really wish there was more of a build up to it. I do think I like this in juxtaposition to the times. I know we've talked about it before and how Buffy beats herself up a lot more than she needs to, but like
yeah.
showing this compared to how Buffy handles it, because Faith
yeah.
just like gets rid of the body and is like, that's not my problem.
Yeah, which I mean, that's a way to handle it. But I think because I think it's the next episode where we find out that like this is not the first time this has happened. And that's sort of something that
oh,
you
right.
have to, just as a viewer, you have to be like, this can't be the first time a Slayer has accidentally killed a human.
Right.
You know? And it's like, if they had just gone to Giles and Wesley and been like, hey man, we accidentally killed a person. What is protocol?
Right.
It would have absolutely gone a different way. For like, at least a little bit a different way. But I don't know. It's just, it's a little frustrating how much Buffy beats herself up too, because this is absolutely not her fault. Like, not even
right.
a little bit is this her fault, which
no.
is the most annoying part, is how little Buffy is responsible for this right. moment.
She did nothing. Yeah. He grabs her in the middle of an alley while they're being attacked by vampires. Like
yeah.
not to victim blame. Like, he definitely was murdered
no, but
wrongly.
Pick your
but
moment
like,
better, Alan yeah. Finch. Come yeah. on.
Definitely don't grab a Slayer in a dark alley. Like, what are you thinking? But also, like, they're getting fought. It's another one of those things where like it shouldn't have been. For this to make sense, make full sense, it shouldn't have been medieval vampires, because like
mm-hmm.
all you've been fighting are people with these yellow cross
yeah.
things, outfits,
like
and
crusades.
Swords. Yeah. And then
armor.
This guy, this kept guy in a suit approaches you. Like, I was watching it and I was like, there is plenty of time for Faith to see that this is not one of them.
Yeah.
Like, this is a weird, I don't know. It's just, It just doesn't, like, if it was a bunch of random people in different outfits, it's like, okay, yeah, you thought it was one of the vampires.
Sure.
But yeah, and so they murder the guy. It's very sad.
Faith accidentally kills him. I feel like we can't even use the word murder.
Yeah, Faith accidentally kills him, yes.
It's like manslaughter.
Yes.
If we're speaking legally, it's or like third degree murder or something.
Yeah, yeah. It's not, Faith accidentally manslaughters him. and Buffy's really broken up about it. Faith, you can't read Faith. She's just kind of like coming up with excuses immediately. Like, I didn't know. And then Buffy runs, they both run away in opposite directions. Buffy runs into Angel. He senses the blood. And then, I think that's it for that story. Later on, like, Faith basically goes back and she stares at the body and like touches the blood, and then we don't see anything. And then the mayor becomes invincible. I love Mr. Trick's fascination with the mayor at every turn.
Yeah.
I hate how quickly he's gone. I think in the next one or two episodes he's out. But I just love that he's just like, what is this like evil thing? I'm all about it. Like, it's just so fun watching him do like, stuff with the mayor. It's really good. And then Buffy confronts Faith. Buffy, that famous line of,
Faith, you don't get it. You killed a man. No, you don't get it. I don't care.
Yeah. It's so fascinating. So interesting. I really do love that part of it, but it just is, it is frustrating, like, kind of overall. The, like, overall, just sort of, I guess I would say, mishandling of the,
yeah,
of the season.
That's so nuts. Oh, well. We got what we got.
You're like, yeah.
I mean, I still love it all, obviously. Like, I love the shit out of all of the Buffy episodes. It's just like watching it down like this. I'm like, it's all your fault, Kristen.
Yeah, I'm sorry. You know, I didn't do it on purpose. I can't help where my brain goes right now.
But you did give me really great what could have been, like, Faith being introduced in Anne. Oh, man.
Yeah. Whew.
That would have been a great, like, a whole, like, if they did a what if, like we were talking about earlier, if they did a what if series.
Right.
Like, what if Faith came, you know, when Buffy was gone?
So interesting.
So interesting. But that's it. That's what we got. Thank you, everyone, for listening. You can follow us on Twitter. What do we got next week? Not next week. Yeah, next week.
Yeah, Consequences.
Consequences. Oh, yeah. It's going to be great. You can listen to us on Twitter. I'm at Trevor Carley.
And I'm with my other podcast, at So I'm Watching, or my personal account, at FiddleDD85.
And as always, please rate, review, and subscribe. And we'll see you next time.
Bye.